The reading today is from Ephesians 1, 1-8, and I'm reading from the NIV. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to God's holy people in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the ones he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace, that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding.
Well, good morning, everyone. It's great, isn't it, to be together and share this time together. Well, the telephone rang. Well, I say it rang, it just began to ring when a quiet voice answered, "Hello. Hello, can I speak to your mummy?" "No." "Can I speak to your daddy?" "No." "Well, can I speak to your big sister?"
"No."
"Well, where are they?"
"They're looking for me."
And they were not playing hide and seek. There was coming a moment in his life right there when they were looking for him to give an apology. And he was expecting forgiveness. And that's where we are this morning, as you've realised already, and it's been spoken about so many times. We're looking at forgiveness, something which we all need in our lives and accept from the Lord. You see, I've put up there an image of someone breaking free from chains. Forgiveness breaks chains. It breaks chains from you, chains of anger, frustration, all these things. It also breaks chains for the other person. They feel freed and settled because forgiveness has been there. It's an interesting word, isn't it, forgiveness? There we go. It talks about forgiving. Forgiveness, it's a wonderful word. But it's two words this morning, for and give. It's an interesting word, isn't it, that we are here to forgive people. It's a wonderful thing both to give and receive forgiveness. And I just wonder this morning if there are, in fact, I know jolly well there are, because there always are, people who need to receive or those who need to give forgiveness. You may be sitting here this morning thinking, "I'm not good enough to receive forgiveness from God. God should never forgive me." Well, of course, we're told, aren't we, that God so loved the world. Now I'm going to do a Nick. Hands up if you're not in the world. So God forgives you. It's there. It's a promise. Or maybe you think, "Well, that person will never forgive me." Well, you're forgiven from God, and that's the main thing. Or, "I can never forgive that person." But you know, if we do that, you're the one that's in the chains. And God wants to set you free. Max Lucado said this: "Forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free and realizing that you were the prisoner." I love that quote. Forgiveness is unlocking the door to set someone free, someone else free, and realizing that actually you were the one that was in prison. Because an unforgiving heart, someone who's not willing to forgive, burns within us, and it just causes us the problem. In hoping to hurt someone else, we simply hurt ourselves. And there are many areas, aren't there, in their lives where we need to seek forgiveness as it comes and goes. Yet God offers to each one of us this morning forgiveness. We've all been there. I've been there, where at one time we were in a situation where I didn't think even of forgiveness. I mean, that wasn't even the issue. I just wanted to explain things. wanted to justify things. It was a misunderstanding. And God spoke to my life before I got the opportunity and said, no, just forgive them. Just forgive them. Areas in our lives where we just need to forgive. And perhaps you may at this time need to forgive. And maybe you need to put things right with God. You never need to forgive God because he never does anything wrong. But sometimes we don't understand what God is doing. Lord, why did you allow this to happen to me? In one of the songs earlier, it talked about adoption. And many of you here will know that I was adopted at the age of 4. And that was great. And so some people used to say to me, you know, do you hold bitterness in your heart to your parents? You know, your birth parents. Are you bitter because they obviously got rid of you? I never was, because I was 4 and I understood what was going on. It never was a problem to me. I'm grateful for that. But later on in my life, in the mid-80s, through a lot of circumstances, I had no intention of finding my natural family. I didn't need to, and I didn't want to upset them anyway, as it might do. But actually, we did bump into each other, well, a bit more than that. But I did meet them. And when I heard about the experiences that my two other brothers, who were not adopted, went through, boy, was I glad I was forgiven. You see, sometimes we can't understand things. Well, why did that happen? And then we realize, if only we knew the background, you would be so glad why that happened. So blessed that it happened in your life. Are there areas where you need to ask God to just show you why you went through things, or just to simply accept that God knows best and things are all right? Sometimes we just don't understand what God's doing, do we? Ask Job, you know, the guy in the Bible that went through such suffering, yet he ended up praising God. And the Bible says that his last days were better than his former days. He didn't understand why, but at the end he understood who. That God was in control, that he would not let anything go to him that God wasn't in control of, that he will know everything. The Bible tells us that God won't put anything upon us that we cannot handle. We just need to trust God in that, don't we? George MacDonald was a Scottish Congregational minister, and he said these words, "I find that doing the will of God leaves me no time for disputing his plans." I love that. That doing the will of God leaves me no time to dispute what he's doing. If you just obey God, then he will just keep us safe. He will reveal in time what's going on. So that we often struggle with what's happening in our lives and can't understand why God is allowing this, we need to accept that. One person in the Bible who did is Peter, of course. And he understood this. I just want us to go back to that scripture that was read to us this morning. It says this, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding." Notice that, with all wisdom and understanding. God's grace is full of understanding and wisdom. And one person that understood that was Peter. Peter understood that. Remember the time when Jesus was about to go to his death. And in Mark 14 verse 31 we read these words. Peter insisted emphatically, "Even if I go to die with you," that was Jesus, "I will never disown you." Because Jesus told him that that would happen. He said, no, Lord, I would never disown you. Do what you like. I'm your guy. You know, I would never disown you. I mean, you're my Lord and Savior. Why would I ever disown you? Then, of course, we get to the other story. I'm reading it from Matthew 26, where it says this, "He," that's Peter, "swore to them, I don't know the man." And Jesus had said, "Before the cock crows 3 times, you'll deny me." And so he did. And like Peter, we often feel that we failed others or we failed God, and that there can be no forgiveness for us. We've just gone too far this time. How can we accept God's love? But it's poured out to the whosoever. You see, Peter had to learn what it meant to offer forgiveness. In Matthew 18, 21-22, it says this: Peter came to Jesus and asked him, Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sinned against me? Up to 77 times. Some translations say 70 times 7. And Jesus answered, I tell you, not 70 times, but 77 times. 70, in other words, what he's saying is you just go on. There is no limit how often you forgive people. And Peter learned to accept that he'd done that awful thing in denying Jesus, even when Jesus said he would and he promised he wouldn't. Yet he knew what forgiveness was. In Luke 17, we read these words, 3-4. So watch yourself. If your brother or sister sins against you, rebuke them. And if they repent, forgive them. That was Peter's experience with Jesus. Even if they sin against you 7 times in a day and 7 times come back to you saying, I repent, you must forgive them. There's no limit to forgiveness. You might say, well, God's forgiven me so many times. Well, he'll just keep forgiving you so many more times. Or I've forgiven them. I'm fed up saying I forgive you. They've hurt me so many times. Or I've hurt them so many times, they'll never forgive me again. But that's not what the word of God says. True forgiveness comes from God. And in fact, true forgiveness is a two-way street. I forgive someone, they forgive me. And fellowship is reunited. God forgives me and I accept his forgiveness. So this word forgiveness, it's a strange one, isn't it? And I was looking up in the dictionary what this word forgiveness means. What does it really mean to give? Well, it means simply to give up something, to give up hatred or hurt, to give up forgiveness and healing to someone else. It also talked about to send away. I send away that hurt. I send you away from the bondage of my unforgiveness to you. You are now free to forgive you. I forgive you. And the Greek there literally means to send away. See, there are two words, aren't there? In fact, right in the center of the word forgiveness is the important word, give. If we forgive someone, we give them freedom. We give them hope. We give them healing. We give them peace. So we accept that word to give. And it's that word give I want to think about this morning. Because give talks about grace. It talks about the infinite grace that God lavished on us. It talks about true vindication when we move in forgiveness and we ourselves are established in his love, his grace and his peace. So grace, what do we mean about grace in times of forgiveness? Well, I mentioned it already. Sometimes we just don't feel that we can be accepted. We just feel that we've gone too far for God to forgive us or other to forgive us. But true forgiveness comes from grace, from graceful hearts, from people who know the grace of God for themselves and to give to others. It's got nothing to do with our qualifications or how good we are. We know the grace of God. Ephesians 2 verses 8-9 says this. It says, it is by grace that you have been saved through faith, and it's not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. Your forgiveness comes from God by grace. Not because you deserve grace from God. If I got what I deserve from God, if you got what you forgot, what God could have given you, we all would have been smashed to pieces by now or something. But by grace, he called us. His amazing grace, he sets us free. It is by grace that we are saved. And what's part of our salvation is forgiveness. It's coming to God and asking him to forgive us. And that forgiveness comes by grace. And my dry throat comes by water. Excuse me, I just needed that. So in our Christian life, we seek to be, don't we, more like Jesus in his forgiveness, to live more like him. You know, sometimes we try all we can, don't we? Can I earn God's forgiveness. We feel that I've just got to do something. If I do something, I'll earn his forgiveness. But we know that that'll never happen. But we try. We seek to be more like Jesus. We seek to be more like him in receiving forgiveness, but also giving forgiveness, to being those people who won't hold grudges. You know, I had an experience where I talked about earlier, and when we got to that place of just forgiving, boy, it was the best experience. I was so glad to get this sermon this morning, or the theme. I was so glad to get the theme this morning of forgiveness, because I love it. It's a great thing. Try it if you need to. If you've got something against someone right now, the first thing you need to do is go to that person and say, I forgive you. It's so great. It sets you free. And if you need to be forgiven, then just go to that person, apologize. Seek their forgiveness. It's so wonderful. It's setting us free, that wonderful thing. And in fact, of course, we hold before us, don't we, that text for the year that's on our board here that we have before us from 1 John 2:6. It says, whoever claims to live in him must live like Jesus did. To live like Jesus, to be people who know true forgiveness, to be like him. It's something we try, even if we never reach fullness of Jesus. We try to be more like him, especially in the area of forgiveness. Many years ago, we were living in North Wales, and a friend of ours, the local vicar, he said to me, have you ever been up Snowdon? It's about an hour's drive from where we live. And I said, no, I've never climbed Snowdon. But I struggle to climb the stairs. So I said, no, I've never climbed Snowdon. He said, well, I'd like to take you up Snowdon. We're going to walk up Snowdon because I just feel it'd be good. We'll share fellowship together and talk together. I thought to myself, climbing and talking are not two words I put in the same sentence. I need breath to climb. So we said, fine. We decided the best date to go up Snowdon is the 7th of December. Well, being a wise person, he listened to the forecast from Snowdon. Living in that area, you can get it on the radio. So he got the latest, before we all had computers. Radios are things about like that, and wiggle and people speak to you. Just in case. And so he listened to the radio, and it said something like, there will be snow on Snowdon. That's why it's called Snowdon, because it's often snowed on. So he said, the man on the radio thing that you were, and the man said, the snow on Snowdon, and we suggest that only experienced people climb. He shared this with us in our home group. Everyone looked at us expecting we would say, well, we're not going to climb tomorrow then, are we? And so I said, well, what does that mean for us in Alec? He said, well, you've never climbed. I said, well, exactly. He said, I've been once. I said, true. He said, so between us, surely we're experienced. So off we went on the 9th of December in the snow to climb on Snowdon. So we stopped off at a Christian climbing centre, and we got the things you put on the feet and the axe thing that you hit each other with when you've had enough of it. And so up we went, and that was fine. We went up there and we, you know, started going, and I'm beginning to think to myself, Hughes, you are an idiot. But anyway, I knew that before then. And I climbed up Snowdon with Aled, up we went. And eventually, when we got near the top, in the dark, we could see, for those of you who know snow, and there's a straight piece just before you get to the very last climb, and you're there. And we just about got there, and by this time the snow and ice was getting quite thick. In fact, Ali dropped his camera. Thankfully, I put my axe down and caught it. And he said, well, come on, let's go and finish this. I said, Ali, a couple of things. You saw how quickly your camera went down there. If that had been you, I was not going to try catching you. So I think it's unwise, plus the fact, you may not have noticed this, but it's dark. And for some reason, whoever put Snowdon there forgot to put street lights on it. And I want to go home. So we turned around and walked all the way down Snowdon by torchlight. And then our wives got hold of us. And we nearly went back up Snowdon again, just for safety. I never quite reached the top of Snowdon, but we saw it, and I'm glad I tried. Seeking to live like Jesus in forgiveness is something perhaps we'll always struggle with, or to seeking to be like Jesus in any area of our lives. But boy, it's better to try than never have tried at all. Another quote that I read recently, I'm not sure who wrote this, but it says, "We do the work, then grace comes in." We do the work, then grace comes in. We decide to forgive, then God's grace floods in and gives us that ability. You do the work, grace floods in. Ephesians 2 verse 8 says, "It's by grace you have been saved." So the G of gift stands for grace. But then that grace goes even better. It's God's unmerited favour. But secondly, it's infinite. In the words of Buzz Lightyear, to infinity and beyond. God's grace is to infinity and beyond. God's grace and love for us never falls out. So our giving is infinite. His giving to us is infinite. And our willingness to give others should always be there, should always be willing. The hymn writer put it this way, Ann Johnson: "His love has no limit, his grace has no measure, his power has no boundary known unto men. For out of his infinite riches in Jesus he giveth and giveth and giveth again." Jesus' supreme example of forgiving. What did he say? Not seven times, but 77 times, or 70 times seven. And he wasn't expecting us to get out the abacus and work out how many that was. He didn't want us to get on our computers and work it out. He just says, keep forgiving. There's no limit to his forgiveness to us, and there should be no limit of forgiveness for us, that we go on forgiving and receiving his forgiveness. We remember, don't we, the time when Jesus was on the cross, and either side of him were people who deserved to die on a cross, people who had broken the law. And Jesus looked at them, and what did he say? "You deserve this, you rotten lot." No, he cried out, he prayed to his Father, "Father, forgive them." Even on the cross, Jesus had forgiveness at the center of his heart. And then one of the prisoners, one of the people on the cross, about to die for what he had done, asked Jesus to forgive him, said, "Lord, forgive me." One of them said, hurled insults, but the other one said, "Don't you fear God? Since you are under the same sentence, we are punished justly. We are getting what our deeds deserve. But this man has done something wrong." Then he said to Jesus, "Remember me. Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And what did Jesus say? He didn't turn around and say, "You left that a bit late." He said, "Truly, I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." Grace went as far as the cross. And you can get no further than that, can you? Criminals got what they deserve. Jesus got what grace led him to. So we have G for grace. We have the I, because that's infinite grace. Then we have V for vindication. The word vindication literally means to clear someone of blame. Just to clear them of blame. That's what happens when we forgive people. We free them. We set someone free from blame. We forgive them. Psalm 43 verse 1 puts it this way. When the psalmist cried to God, he said, "Vindicate me, my God." He could have said, "Forgive me." He could have said anything. But he wanted to be vindicated. He knew in God that he was clear. He knew that God led him that way. King James puts it this way. Version puts it this way. "Judge me, O God, and plead my cause. Vindicate me. Lord, you know all about me." Vindication. "Vindicate me, O Lord," he says, "plead my cause against others." David was being pursued by Saul's men once, and he knew that they were after him. Yet David knew his innocence, and he prayed these words. He prayed in Psalm 54, verse 1, "Save me, O God, by your name, vindicate me." He knew that he was doing the will of God, and whatever anyone else said, he knew that his vindication was not from others, it was from God. You see, when we forgive people, they're vindicated, they're set free, they are justified. We clear away their sense of blame. And the last word that we look at in that is being established. Paul, the Apostle Paul, ended Romans 16, verse 25, with these words. Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel. He establishes us when we live according to his gospel, when we seek forgiveness for the things that we've done wrong. To establish means literally to set and fix firmly, unalterably, and settle permanently. When we know we're forgiven, it's settled once for all. I don't need to keep asking forgiveness unless I do something wrong, and then I ask forgiveness from God. But I don't have to keep asking for it just because I need to. No, only when I do something wrong. I am established in him because of his grace, because of his forgiveness. It means to establish a person there. One other scripture that talks about this is Colossians. It says, if you continue in your faith, established and firm. We know that we are established in him, and from that basis, we can offer forgiveness to the whosoever. So what does that mean? Well, we often hear the phrase, don't we, about forgive and forget. It's not easy, is it? But if we forgive something, we give them something. We said that earlier. Forgiveness is giving peace to them, giving freedom from the chains that bound them. If we forgive, we give them something. We also gain. We forgive and we what's the last bit of that? Get. If we forgive and forget, we both give peace, but also we get peace if we forget it. In other words, we lay it to one side. Once I've said, sorry, that's the end of it. You know, I think someone said this last week, you know, we go to God and we say, you know, we did something, we asked his forgiveness. And then we go to him a bit later and we remind him and say, Lord, you know, we did that thing. And he says, what's that? What did you do? I don't know. The Bible tells us that he removes from us our sins as far as the east is from the west. Yeah, that's about right. As far as the east is from the west. Notice that. He didn't. You see, I might say to you, go to the east of this building and go to the west of the building. That's not very far. Or the east of Bourne to the west of Bourne. Well, you could walk that distance. From the east of our country to the west. Well, it's a fair distance, but we could do that in a car fairly easily. But he didn't say that. He just said from the east to the west. From the furthest east to the furthest. In other words, you can never get there. He sends our sins. In other words, he forgives them. Another one is he puts it in the sea of his forgetfulness. And someone put the sign up saying no fishing. He's forgiven, he's forgotten. Our sins are washed away, absolutely. You see, someone said this as well. Many promising reconciliations have been broken down because while both parties came prepared to forgive, neither came to be forgiven. You see, it goes both ways. We forgive, but we're forgiven. This morning, perhaps you're not in that place of forgiveness. Another quote from Max Lucado says this, God loves you just the way you are, but he refuses to leave you that way. He wants you to be just like Jesus. Just like Jesus, knowing his forgiveness to forgive and to forget. God loves you just the way you are. Going to close in a moment, but Rosie put some books out in the library on the subject of forgiveness. Maybe you want to have a look around there and on the other shelves too. We're coming to the end. And I just want us to think of what we've just said. I want us to think, well, what does that mean for us? What does it mean for us to be forgiven and to forget? Scripture from Mark 11:25. In the Message translation, it says this, if you have anything against someone, forgive. Only then will your heavenly Father be inclined to also wipe your slate clean of sins. That's lovely. He wants to wipe them free of sins if you're willing to go to him. Galatians 6 says this. Live creatively, friends. If someone falls into sin, forgivingly restore them, saving your critical comments to yourself. You might be needing forgiveness before the day is out. Let's just close our eyes a minute. I'm sure there are many of us here that hopefully have been challenged by that need for forgiveness from God. Either you can't receive it, or you feel he won't give it, or forgiveness from others or to others. Just as we have our eyes closed and as no one's looking around, if you feel that that's for you, you need to forgive or receive forgiveness, whoever, whatever the situation, just very quietly, just pop up your hand. Don't put it too far, I'll see it. You need to give or receive forgiveness. Just very quickly, just pop up your hand. I'm not going to call you out. I'm not going to point at you. And just say this prayer or something like it. Father, forgive me. Lord, I'm sorry for that thing. I'm sorry for the sins I've done, and I commit my life to you. Or I'm sorry for the things I've done to others, for the way that I've acted. Father, forgive me. Or Lord, I need to forgive someone. Give me the grace to do so. Or Father, I need to receive and accept forgiveness. I need your grace also for that. But help me, Lord, from this day to live in the peace of forgiveness. Amen.